News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
When you dig into the statistics relating to road deaths, what they reveal is that more than 2 in 5 of all drivers killed had been drinking. That's in accidents where toxicology reports are available. And of those, more than 2/3 were over 3 times the legal limit. Dr. Owen Fogarty, emergency medicine and retrieval consultant at Cork University Hospital, has been writing about this, and he's quoted as saying, "Drink driving is not an accident, it is a conscious decision." And if you look at the RSA stats, it would suggest that it is endemic and a major contributor to the reason we have as many road deaths as we do. From your perspective, Owen, working in emergency medicine, you see the results of this. What is your experience like with drink driving?
Well, first, Anton, thank you very much for having me on your show today. It's terrible. That's the bottom line. So I end up having to speak to loved ones. Explain to them that their child, their sibling, their parent will be a very different person or will never come home. And it's very hard because I know that this is completely avoidable. So I'm pushing a certain agenda that we need to reduce road deaths in Ireland. Currently, or last year was the worst year in 10 years, and year to date, we're already worse than last year. So the laws need to change to make this better.
And what's interesting is when there's discussions around road safety, it doesn't tend to be at the forefront of those discussions, but it is, I mean, it's not only within drivers. If you look at vulnerable road users, you look at pedestrians, half of the pedestrians are killed who have been drinking.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that it isn't front and center in our analysis when it's clearly one of the most significant contributors to road deaths?
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, at the moment, there's obviously very terrible things happening in the world, which their current take of most immediate presence. And then when you divvy into the drink driving stuff, it gets pushed down the agenda. That speeding, which is very important, and e-scooters seem to be generating a lot more publicity. They seem to be a bit more seen. There's sort of a historical thing in Ireland about sort of protecting the drink driver in rural Ireland. The vast majority of these deaths are in rural Ireland. And the pub is seen as this sort of epicenter of society down there. But in reality, This is one of the big problems. There's a lot of TDs in rural Ireland who are protecting the rural vote, we'll have to say. And so there just generally is this attitude going on about, you know, not going after rural Ireland, not, you know, hitting the drink drivers. It's very sad.
Now, the other thing that the figures would suggest, and I wonder, is this your experience of it as well, working in the emergency room, is that it is vastly, vastly a male issue, that 9 out of 10 of the drink drivers who are found to be killed, where there are toxicology reports that reveal that they were drinking, 9 out of 10 of them are men.
Yeah, it's very sad. And look, that it just has to change. 9 out of 10 times it's a male drink driver.
And in terms of the victims of the accidents, in terms of people who are critically injured, what do they say? Because I assume you talk to them when they sober up, if they have survived. Do they understand what they have done?
Some do and some don't. I generally try and have a holistic approach. I treat the drink driver like a patient, okay? Because that's what they are to me. I tend to have an adversarial relationship with the patient. I tend to say, listen, you know, what's going on? Why are you doing this? How can we make this better? Some of these people have been going through a lot of bad stuff in their life already. They're not necessarily all just bad people. And you try and educate them as to, look, this is what you can do better. And in CUH, we have an excellent sort of crisis team, an alcohol liaison team that we get people to talk to. Now, there are the unfortunate bunch of people who just are going to be bad people who will drink and drive, and they need to be essentially, unfortunately, punished. And so I am calling for better enforcement, easier laws, because we do hear constantly about people avoiding justice for a variety of reasons, specifically around the timing that the Garda has to take the sample, specifically around things about having Garda caution given to the patient. But very important as well, if you are caught drinking and driving, even if you're absolutely hammered drunk, the guards are obliged to give you your keys back to your car as soon as you sober up, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And how much of it is a road safety problem, and how much of it is a drinking culture problem? Because if you look at the stats around things like drownings, if you look at the stats around self-harm and suicide, if you look at the stats around public order offences, drink is a huge contributor to those numbers as well.
Absolutely. And I suppose one of the most saddest bits, and recent enough, we heard evidence from New Zealand. When you When you hit drink driving, you hit other things. So if you stop the drink driving, you'll stop, we'll say, domestic violence at home. You'll stop violence in the street. So look, although I'm pushing the road safety agenda, as a board member of Alcohol Action Ireland, I'm looking at the bigger picture of alcohol in society, that it costs us an absolute fortune financially, which is very important. But more importantly, it's the loved ones that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about all those, the children, the siblings, the parents of the drinker, and how detrimental to our society it is.
Owen, thank you for your time this morning. That's Dr. Owen Fogarty, Emergency Medicine and Retrieval Consultant at CUH and a board member of Alcohol Action Ireland.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.